and join me in praying collect number 76. Almighty, everlasting God, grant us always to have the proud will to work for you, and the desire to serve your majesty with a pure heart. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you to everyone who beautifies our service this morning with singing and playing. A big thank you to all of them today. Our text for consideration this morning is taken from the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, reading verses 26 and 27. Jesus says, "When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. O Lord, these are your words, and therefore they are the truth. We ask you to sanctify us by this truth. Amen." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if you're going to sit there today and look me in the eyes and tell me you're not a defensive person, then tell me how you'd react to this statement. You need counseling. Oh, you're living your life, doing what you're doing, nobody's getting hurt, and then someone comes to you, someone you may even love and trust, and they say, you need help. You need to see someone. Is that accepting, laid-back, even-keel personality of yours still in play? Even the lowest key of us bristles when someone suggests we need the guidance or advice of another. In fact, when it comes to the whole idea of counseling, unless we're planning a career in it, it's really not something we tend to respect. At seminary, counseling is one of those practical classes. And by practical, it means we don't really have to pay attention to our professor, because we'll just figure all that stuff out when we're out in the ministry. Now, I don't want our friends from Mount Olive to pay attention to the next couple sentences, but how much did we listen to our guidance counselor in high school? Did we put a lot of stock in those questionnaires that told us what we were going to be when we grew up? Did we have this epiphany when the spreadsheet came back that said webmaster, or the one that said surgeon, or in my case, before picture for LA weight loss? In my high school building, there was a counseling office. It was specifically for family counseling. And every day, sitting in the cafeteria, eating our lunch, some of us more than others, we would notice, we could always pick out who was making their way to the counseling office. Now just imagine having to run this gauntlet of gawking teens to get the help you needed. We could always pick them out. You could see it in their eyes, that look of shame on their faces. We knew it wasn't just parents coming in to pick up their kid to take them to the orthodontist. Okay, they were there for counseling. And being mature Christians at that Lutheran high school, well, we were glad we weren't that messed up. Now, I know I'm not messed up, and I'm pretty sure you're not. And yet often in our lives, hard truths have a way of revealing themselves to us. And it can be something very simple, very innocent, almost comical. Someone offers you a breath mint, and then you notice they don't take one for themselves. But it gets more serious than that. The headaches, the morning after, the dry mouth, all those things, they keep you from your responsibilities. Out of the blue, a loved one comes to you and confronts you with broken promises, promises you don't remember making, promises you don't remember breaking. Your oldest friend comes up to you and says, "I don't know who you are anymore." And it's times like these when that lovely self-portrait we've made ceases to be art and becomes reality. That's the nature of revelation. What's revealed to us today is that we need counseling. The mirror of God's law, revealed in His holy word, shows us that true picture of ourselves. It brings us face to face with the reality of sin and death without end. But thanks be to the Father and to the Son, who have sent their Holy Spirit to proclaim salvation to all people, a salvation, a forgiveness purchased by the life and death of Jesus Christ, proceeding from the Father and the Son. The Counselor, the Spirit of Truth, brings that good gift of the gospel to every corner of the world. Comforter, Counselor, in our bulletin today, He's the Helper, perhaps most properly Paraclete, not a word we use too much, but whatever you want to call Him, the Holy Spirit is the one who lifts us up and carries us to the foot of the cross, where we see the bloody testimony of God's enduring love for sinners. Through His gifts, through the means of grace, the word and sacraments, the Holy Spirit brings us the only true lasting comfort, that all our sins have been blotted out, and that we can stand before our Creator not as His enemies, but as His dear children. Truly, as the Apostle Paul writes, He is the Spirit who makes us cry, Abba, or Father. Not only does the Counselor draw near to us when we are struggling with the law and crushed under the weight of our own sin, but He also comes to us when we are suffering for the sake of the gospel. The two verses we're looking at today close off a section in our Bibles that's entitled, "The World Hates the Disciples." In this section, The Lord Jesus prepares all his disciples for a lifetime devoted to picking up those individual crosses and following him. Jesus knew the kind of opposition that would confront the gospel and all who proclaimed it. In just a few hours after speaking these comforting words, Jesus would let those who were opposed to him do all they had wanted to do to him for years. And now the disciples were to go out and preach about that, to go out into a wicked world and to proclaim Jesus Christ and him crucified. He knew they'd need help. He knew they would stumble under their own cross. They would need someone to pick them up. So he promised them the counselor, the helper. The necessity of testifying about Jesus. It says, you also must testify. You will bear witness. That necessity of testimony leads to a necessity of suffering. And so the Lord Jesus promises all of us today his counselor as well. He promises you, all of you who have been with Christ from the beginning, from the time you were baptized, he promises you who will dedicate your lives, whether you're graduating next week, to our Mount Olive friends, whatever the guidance counselor tells you to do, and remember, act surprised, okay? Whatever we're going to do, as long as we're going to go out and preach that gospel, spread that gospel, he promises the counselor to us. Look at our text. Jesus does not say, if the helper comes, when, if the counselor comes. He says, when. It is a sure thing. And it's not a one-time thing. This isn't just Pentecost, though as we look forward to that festival on Sunday, we certainly connect those words to this, to that great event. It's not a one-time event in our lives either. That promise of the counselor, that's not a one-time thing. As our counselor, as our helper, he is with us every step of the way, even when we stumble and even as we suffer. Through his good gifts, in all those times when we gather around that word of comfort, the Holy Spirit is there preparing us, equipping us, and strengthening us for a lifetime of service and testimony. For being our strength when we struggle with the law and suffer for the gospel, thanks and praise be to that heavenly counselor who guides us along the way and reveals to us the truth, for he is the Lord and giver of life. Amen.
Lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.